From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The Bush administration may have violated a court order by destroying CIA interrogation tapes. The CIA is part of the executive branch and originally said it would conduct its own probe. But now other branches of the federal government want answers. This week, one federal judge ordered a hearing in order to find out the truth. Congress is mounting its own investigation. We'll take a look at what could happen when two branches of government search for answers at the same time. For more, we've got Ron Christie, Vice President of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush, and Mary Frances Berry, Professor of History at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Mary. This is Robert Trainum with you.
Hi there, Robert. Good to see you instead of Ron. Okay.
So, Robert, apologies for that. Now, let's move along. The federal judge, Henry H. Kennedy, has scheduled a hearing for this Friday, and the House Judiciary Committee wants to conduct hearings on the same matter. They've agreed to hold off this week. Would it have been better to conduct probes at the same time, or would that strain evidence and witnesses?
You're right. It would strain evidence and witnesses. But, you know, this goes back to 1973 and 1974 when the executive branch and the legislative branch were, frankly, were butting heads over the same materials. That was when Richard Nixon obviously was on the eve of being impeached by the Congress. And so the real issue really is, Farai, is whether or not Judge Mukasey can be, who's the attorney general now, can be impartial. Can he mediate the two sides, if you will? Because quite frankly, and I would argue constitutionally, they both have a right to take a look at this information and to proceed, obviously, in a manner that is in their best interest.
And I think that in the end, it's going to be the judge in the district court who sort of breaks the logjam a little bit, just as Robert talked about Watergate, Judge Sirica did back at that time, because that judge can issue orders because he's actually in a case, in a trial, where evidence has to be brought forward. So perhaps that's the case. But one of the complications here is that since the Justice Department is in such bad odor after Gonzalez and all the firings and their credibility is so gone, that people have trouble relying on a Justice Department inquiry. When you hear the word, the Justice Department will look into X, you automatically think, boy, they're usually a part of the problem, not part of the solution. So I think I'm looking to see what the judge will order.
Now, Robert, when it comes to these investigations, Watergate kicked off a real era of questioning the government from within the government. Mm-hmm. How do people then react when they see the government questioning itself? Does that erode confidence in the political system?
Absolutely. You know, it raised eyebrows. Look, the president has a 65% disapproval rating. The Congress has a 32% disapproval rating. Americans are very frustrated at this government, if you will, as a whole. Americans are saying, look, we've tried this before. We saw this during Iran-Contra back in 1987. We saw this during Watergate back in 1973 and 74, as I mentioned. We don't have confidence that our government not only can police itself, but also can move forward from this. And so this is a real question as to whether or not, frankly, the government will rise up to the occasion and say, look, we've done something really, really bad here, and we're going to police ourselves and we're going to fix it. Now, in the government's defense, the government says, or the CIA, rather, says specifically, we had to destroy these tapes because, number one, if we didn't destroy these tapes, and if it was out in the public domain, our enemies, if you will, would retaliate in some way, shape, or form. That's number one. But also number two, it would also give an insight as to how we get information to thwart other terrorist attacks. At least that's what the CIA says.
But in our system of justice, you do not destroy evidence, especially when in a case where someone is accused of a criminal offense, the judge orders that evidence to be held and produced. Otherwise, you have an unfair trial process going forward. So you have all of these competing interests that are in play here. But as far as the administration is concerned, it can run out the clock on this thing, no matter how long the Congress investigates or tries to get information or whatever the judge orders. In the end, they can appeal it to death. If they don't mind a further erosion of credibility, since Mr. Bush isn't running for reelection, and if they don't think it will complicate anything else, they can simply run out the clock.
So you're basically saying this is a lame duck presidency, and their bottom line may be, who cares?
Well, it seems that way on a lot of other issues where people assume that the president is going to cave in and the administration is going to, and they haven't, on budget issues, on any number of things, much to the surprise of the Democrats. So that if they decide to run out the clock, and if the president decides that it is so important to keep these matters secret and that getting rid of the tapes was a great idea and he doesn't want to be bothered with it, he can run out the clock.
And you know, Farai, to Mary's point, that's a very good point. And that's why Congress is inserting itself. That's why Congress is saying, whoa, wait a minute here. We're still relevant and we're going to be around here even after 2008 when the president leaves the White House. So that's one of the main reasons why the Congress is saying, one, we want to know exactly what happened. Two, we're going to have our own independent investigation. And three, our approval rating is in the tanks, too. So we need to make ourselves relevant, if you will, in the eyes of the American public.
Robert, I want to switch to another topic, to the presidential elections. Now, some of the Republican Party members were championing Hillary Clinton as the candidate to beat in 2008. Now, some conservatives are claiming that Barack Obama's qualities trump Clinton's experience. I'm thinking specifically of David Brooks of the New York Times. He wrote this glowing piece about Obama, comparing his temperament to that of Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr.
And Jesus Christ.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's a very high standard.
But so, Jesus Christ wasn't a
that
politician.
That was not an expletive.
It's very high praise. So maybe, you know, Robert, start us out. Has he become a favorite of white moderates and even conservatives? I'm talking about Obama.
Let me go back to the future here and quote Joe Biden, who's a Democratic senator from Delaware who is running for president. He said, and I quote of Obama, he's clean. He's different. He's not like the other guys that are running for president, meaning Jesse Jackson, who tried to run and win the nomination back in 84 and 88. End quote. Senator Obama is different. He is arguably the most credible African-American politician to ever seek the presidency. And what I mean by that is that he comes across as very likable. He is very likable. He's a little light on the issues. However, people love this gentleman. And this is evidence based on the fact that he has raised more money than any other person running for president on the Democratic side in history. That's a fact. Also, too, he comes across as very charming. And also, too, keep in mind, Oprah has endorsed him as well. Conservatives feel comfortable with him. Now, I'm not sure all conservatives feel comfortable with him. And frankly, I don't know if they're going to vote for him or not, but they actually do like him.
Robert, well, let me jump in. Is that comfortable as in, oh, what a nice man comfortable, or comfortable as in, wow, if we have a Negro running for the White House, we can beat him?
You said it. I didn't.
Okay.
Well, Farai, if I may jump in there, I think that part of the reason why people like David Brooks and other pundits and columnists like him is because they style themselves as intellectuals and they think he's an intellectual and they can have an intellectual argument as if they were in a seminar room on a campus or something. But politics, as Mr. Finley Dooley says, is not beanbag. And so this is real fight and real hardball that we're involved in here. But what I think is that conservatives like him for the reasons you guys have given. Also, I think that the media likes him. I read Mark Halperin's column today. His statements in Howie Kurtz's column today. He's a Time magazine guy. And he says that the media has a thinly concealed bias, that they want Obama to be the candidate. So if anyone else gets the nomination, poor John Edwards gets almost overlooked. If Hillary Clinton were, they would have to do it by fighting, you know, with their arms tied literally behind their backs, because here you've got a guy who's likable. He, as Angela Davis says, gives to white people diversity without any difference or cutting edge. They don't have to worry about him raising anything, race issues in some unpleasant way, or being like Jesse, as Robert says, or any of those things. And so you have this guy who's likable. What's interesting to me, too, is that we said in 2000, after 2000, that we would not pick a president again based on whether we liked him or not, whether he was the kind of guy we wanted to sit down with, because there was a lot of talk about that in 2000 and in 2004. Now here we are again with liking somebody. So it's all going to come down to this guy is likable. He isn't offensive. He's the kind of guy you could imagine that you could talk about everything in the world except race. And we'll see how it turns out.
May I interject for a second?
Please.
Just to pick up on Mary's point. Take a look at the front runners on both the Republican and Democratic sides. If you take a look at Hillary Clinton, people admire her skill set. People admire her intellectual prowess. But I'm not sure a lot of people out there actually like her. She comes, according to published press reports, she comes across as cold or calculating. Take a look at Rudy Giuliani on the Republican side. People obviously do not question his leadership capabilities, but a lot of people out there will say, you know what? He looks a little mean. He acts as very dictatorial. He's somewhat of a bully, if you will. Take a look at John Edwards on the Democratic side. He's always talking. He comes across angry or very strident. And if you contrast all of those personalities to a Barack Obama, who comes across as very sunny, very optimistic, dare I say, almost Ronald Reagan-esque, like, if you will, just in terms of being very, very positive, people do like him.
Or Huckabee, well, on the Republican side, the same factor is in play.
Let me ask you specifically about this, Mary. Senator Joseph Lieberman endorsed White House candidate John McCain, who's a Republican. Lieberman is what you might call a nonconforming Democrat.
I would call him lots of things.
Right. Well, what do you make of this?
What I make of it is that he's so mad because the Democrats didn't support him, and he had this challenge and he became an independent, and he's so tied up with this issue of the war in Iraq and how he thinks things should go in the Middle East, and McCain is his buddy. He likes sticking his thumb in the eye of the Democrats because they need him for that razor-thin majority in the Senate. And he hopes that what he'll do is give a boost to McCain and he can win in New Hampshire, and that McCain can end up being the nominee and win the election. And then Lieberman will have even more power than he does now on balance. So I think it's about ego. I think it's about being stiffed by the Democrats in the race in Connecticut, and it's about his future and what he thinks about should happen in the Middle East.
Robert, very briefly, do you expect any more cross-party nominations?
Probably not. I mean, look, John McCain was on the short list in 2004 to be John Kerry's VP nominee. Mary's right. Senator Lieberman is a maverick, if you will. But guess what? John McCain is a maverick as well. So birds of a feather certainly flock together. And this is a way for Senator Lieberman to say, you know what, I'm still relevant, number one. But also, number two, quite frankly, I'm going to help a friend out.
Well, on that note, we've got to go.
All right.
Thanks, Farai.
Thank you very much.
Always great to talk to you. We have been talking with Mary Frances Berry, who's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and also with Robert Trainum. He's the D.C. Bureau Chief for the Comcast Cable Network, CN8.